Hello and welcome to the Womb-Centered Healing Podcast. And we might also publish this in the Writing from the Womb podcast, as our topic for today is all about the Biomystical Womb Journal. And I have Anna with me here today. Thank you for joining me, Anna. Anna has been a wonderful collaborator and I don't know what other titles I might give you, Anna. But companion on this journey of birthing the Biomystical Womb Journal. And I wanted to have a conversation with you, Anna, on the podcast to share your experience of engaging with this project, both as a Biomystical Womb apprentice, in which many of the writing prompts, actually much of the book was designed, and it's an interesting process because I've been writing from a set of writing prompts that I set up for the apprentices based on this book outline, or, you know, biomystical womb process that I received as an insight of like, oh, this is a structure, this is the natural biological structure of the life cycle of our womb life, right? And how important each of these womb passages, initiatory passages are, and you know, how can we revisit the parts of our lives, our womb life that was neglected, that was, you know, not nurtured as well as it could be, and how much healing could happen if we went back and nurtured those times and those passages in our lives and reinitiated ourselves more fully, and who would we become? And so that curiosity and the structure of the book, and then these questionnaires that I put into the apprenticeship, which was designed to develop the healing process of the biomystical womb approach to womb-centered healing. And so then these participants to the apprenticeship were writing for about their experiences from these writing prompts. And I was writing about my experience engaging with this healing work and thinking I was going to somehow have to include all of this writing and organize all of this writing that was endless. It was like with the typical writing process, you just keep writing until it's done. Well, it was never going to be done. And I was overwhelmed with like, how am I going to finish this book? How will I know when it's done? And I got this in a womb meditation. I got the answer that it's already done because I had already written the writing prompts, and that the book needed to be a journal to allow for the infinite quality of this work, because each individual person has a unique journey. And me writing my journey is good for me, and it might be good for some of the people some of the time, but the best thing for everyone is to be able to write out their own journey. And so that was going to be more helpful to more people than me writing out and somehow organizing my writings and the other apprentices' writings into some big fat book that was going to have, you know, a sequel after sequel after sequel as we kept writing, right? So, so Anna has been involved as an apprentice in this process of going through the apprenticeship together and sharing the writing process and these writings with each other. And so, Anna, I would love to hear I'm sure listeners would love to hear as well, your experience with the Biomystical Womb writing prompts through the apprenticeship program and how it's come together as a book.
First, thanks for having me too, right? I always enjoy our conversations. And I definitely, for me, it's been really a big part of the apprenticeship and really important to have those writing prompts. It's just because I felt that the questions were always very introspective, right? Going within, going deeper. And that's really what I craved, and what I can imagine other people also really thirsty for, going you know, further than just the surface. And it definitely, it brings up so much, and it doesn't have to be like digging things up. It's just, it's the processing, it's the healing, it's the realizing, it's the allowing to sit with it and to express it, the validating it. It's just whatever the questions were, it's just, there's always a journey with it. And I think for me, it was definitely very helpful. And it definitely was, it's not always easy to write about certain things that come up, but it's so worth it. And at the end, you always feel good because it's expressed, it's seen, and you can hold space for your own writings and share it also in a circle with other women. That's very healing and potent, I think. And it, for me personally, it led to much more trusting my intuition, trusting what I'm feeling deep within. Making sovereign decisions. And so I think it's great how it came into the journal for the writing prompts, because I feel, yeah, it can help any kind of person, especially when you were also addressing the physical pains we can have as women with our menstruation, how that can really be affected if the things are just bottled up inside and not expressed in any creative way. So yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Beautiful. Yeah, some of the things that you shared feel like they popped out for me to reflect on and to perhaps ask more questions of you. One is it's not about digging in or chasing after whatever might be hidden inside of us, whatever unexpressed emotions or truth. And I just wanted to slow that down a little bit and look at that, because what I've noticed is, and from my own experience with healing modalities, that there can often be an energy of chasing after a very penetrative, digging into our inner realms in this almost invasive, or you know, actually invasive process of getting to the root of the problem. And you know, that can be laced with so many of the problematic approaches to life that says that something's wrong with you, that you know, something's toxic within you, you've got to dig out the poison. And and it can actually be quite re-traumatizing when the origins of when and very resembling some of the origins of the difficult feelings that we've packaged up and hidden inside of ourselves when we were treated that way in our upbringing, or when we've inherited emotional patterns and wounding from our parents and from our, you know, grandparents and from our ancestry going back through the generations. And so, you know, it's understandable that many healing modalities would try to use a similar energy to heal that kind of wounding when we don't know anything else, a different way, and we don't know any other way of doing it. And what I went through many years of trying to go after healing in that kind of aggressive, invasive way in those inner realms. But what I've discovered is that aggressive, penetrative approach actually sends many wounded parts of ourselves, into deeper hiding so that we can never truly give them the, give ourselves the healing, you know, provide a safe enough space for the healing that we need. And so part of my work now that's really important to me in my personal journey, as well as what I offer to those that I support on the healing journey and in this book, is to provide a safe enough environment that is not a critical dissection or, you know, accusation or penetration in any way, but it's more of a womb space that is nourishing and comfortable, where all of your basic needs are met, and there's an allowing and encouragement for all of your beauty and your love and your comfort to just blossom. And when that kind of support is there, when that kind of safety and comfort and beauty is there, then the parts of ourselves that had gone in such deep hiding because it wasn't safe feel safe enough finally to come to the surface. And so that's what I really encourage and hope to encourage in the book. And I know as a book, you know, I may say that once at the beginning of the book, but if we have habit patterns of chasing, I know, you know, I've had to work, you know, ongoing in an ongoing way to remind myself that, you know, I'm not chasing after these tender, vulnerable parts. I'm going to let them come up and, you know, resolve themselves in their own timing, and chasing after them actually perpetuates the wounding, right? And so that's why I hope to couple this book with ongoing support as well, with the apprenticeship program, with the Writing from the Womb workshops, where we can all support each other and remind each other of what you were saying at the beginning, that it's not about chasing down, you know, our hidden hurts. It's about providing this space for them to come up. And, you know, that's also why in the journal, I talk about, you know, skipping around. You don't have to like go through the linear process and go through one and then the next and then the next. So if you try to do that, and that one question doesn't feel safe yet for you to answer that question or engage with that question, then you can get stuck there and put that book journal on the shelf for the rest of your life if you have to confront that thing you're not ready to confront. And so, you know, skipping that one and going to a different part of the book, or, you know, things like that are things that I want to really encourage people to have, that sort of a soft, gentle approach to it. And I was sharing with Anna at the beginning that it's a huge book. Like, it got really big because I added all these extra blank pages, and it was quite a big body of work. And there's lots of blank pages for the readers to fill it in. So I just wanted to bring that up. And I'm curious, Anna, about you and your experience of this approach of creating a safe space and the womb-like approach to healing. And if you've had experiences previously with that more penetrative, invasive approach to healing, and how it feels different.
Definitely. Yeah, when you were talking about creating that safe space, I got that picture of the lotus flower in the mud, you know, like gestating, and when it's safe, getting ready to blossom. That's a picture I got.
Or any seed really waits for just the right conditions to sprout, right? That's why it's in that hard little womb, right? The seed, the crust of the seed, or, you know, it needs certain conditions. Every seed has the conditions that it needs in order to sprout.
Yeah. And so I definitely resonate. Yeah, definitely had phases where I was more trapped in that approach of chasing, and because I don't live in an awesome little tribe where those things aren't there, I still fall in it here and there in different areas of my life and need to watch myself. I'm not sure I'm not really looking for an end or for a fix for that. I just know it's there, and I just need to be aware that sometimes I still have it. But I definitely noticed it, and I felt that the approach that we have in the journaling is just what comes out of it is so much deeper and more inspiring, and creates a momentum that you can't really put into logical words sometimes. So I feel when I feel what it does to me, even just to the way I feel in my body when I'm in that safe space, and whatever comes up doesn't have to be in a certain shape, doesn't have to be chased down, doesn't have to be forced to come out of me. It's so different as the approach. And I also feel it with other people when I give other people that kind of, attitude or approach. It has a completely different effect, rather than when it's more the other side, the chasing. I somehow feel from my experience with other people, when I've been on the side where I was able to be in a safe space, but I've noticed that maybe someone else was showing me the side of chasing and digging, it felt like a violation, like a boundary violation, because when one is strongly in it, one might not notice that one is doing it to the other as well. So I want to take responsible for when I was doing that in the past, and I'm just noticing it's just out of balance. So the safety approach, I definitely resonate more with. Yeah. And I think that's where much more healing can happen, because that's like the mother that is missing, right? The mother that holds you, it's that space.
And, you know, I just want to speak to how understandable it is. And I've definitely fallen into that too, because when we care for someone and they're in pain, and often we can see the source of their suffering, and, you know, if we have a similar pain that's uncomfortable that maybe we don't want to feel, and feeling them being in that pain brings that up for us, and we want to hurry up and fix it. We want them to hurry up and, you know, resolve that pain for themselves. We can see an easy, what seems like an easy pathway. Why aren't they doing that? You know, and it can become very easy to pressure people to hurry up and heal. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly easy to pressure ourselves when we're feeling uncomfortable with a healing process, with becoming aware of an aspect of ourselves, with, you know, having us an unaware part of ourself that we can't seem to connect with, that we know is causing us pain and suffering and perpetuating unhealthy patterns. It can be very easy to be like, come on, hurry up now, let's get to it, right? Let's mm-hmm. let's end this suffering as quickly as possible. And yet what I found is, you know, that pressuring, in my experience, what it did is that it could produce the illusion of rapid change. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, especially for the deepest hurts, it was just that deep hurt went into deeper hiding than ever before. And so it made me feel like it had been resolved. But then as soon as I let down my guard or let down that pressure, there it was. As soon as it was safe again, that deep hurt would, and, you know, and I would then gravitate towards, when I felt like, oh, I don't have to deal with that, then I would go towards being in safe zones. I would stop chasing after it, right? Because I had resolved it, right? But then there it would come up, because I hadn't resolved it. I just sent it into deep, deep hiding, right? So what I've learned is that it doesn't really speed anything up. It doesn't really make the healing go faster to chase after it like that. it actually just postpones it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, which may be a valid, you know, process that others may have to have their own experience with that. You know, certainly if somebody had tried to explain this to me back when I was really trying to hurry up my healing process, I mean, I would hear that, those words, but it was hard to stop doing that until I was tired of hurrying it up, or until I had gotten to the place where I could even be rest into the safety zone enough to have those deeper hurts come up and not get into hurry up mode again. Like there was a development of being able to be with the discomfort of the process that took time. And I'm curious if you've experienced, I mean, you were talking about that. It sounds like that's what you were talking about a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Developing that, you know, because, and that shows up in how we interact with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've grown a greater and greater capacity to be with someone else's pain and not try to fix it and allow them the space to go through whatever process they need to go through, offering whatever support they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing that when I insist that the thing that I think that I have to give them that will help them so very much is the thing that they actually need, whether they agree with me or not, that's not helpful.
Yeah, that's a difficult, right? But yeah, good to realize.
And that's that, you know, learning that even is a process that takes time to get more comfortable with just being with people where they're at and taking care of ourselves in that regard too. Because sometimes if somebody's in a really painful place and I have varying capacities to be with someone who's in a really painful place. And that might mean that I don't get to be with that person. I may love them very, very much, but that I don't have the capacity to be with them and just allow them to be where they're at. That's sometimes the case too. And being able to accept that, you know, and this particularly comes up with, say, family members who, you know, have a varying degree of even engaging with the healing process at all, you know. And then, of course, you know, friends, colleagues, you know, people engaging in the healing process and it being in different, coming at it from different angles or different phases, you know. So that's a central practice that I hope comes across in this book. But I can also see how this journal could very well be, used in a way that ends up being hard on ourselves, right? If we're like trying to stick to the linear, you do the one and then you do the next, whether you're ready for it or not, whether that's the right question for you to be working with or not, and pushing ourselves to get through the whole thing academically. And this is something in the apprenticeship that I talked about a lot, you know, yes, it's organized in this linear way because we have these seemingly linear life cycles that travel, you know, we travel through time in a seemingly linear fashion. The healing process doesn't work that way. You know,
it doesn't apply to that.
No, it doesn't. And so allowing for that, even though, you know, in order to organize the information, in order to organize the writing prompts, it is in somewhat of a linear thing, you know. But luckily with a book, it's easy to just, like a lot of books of this nature, you know, I would just flip through randomly, asking the forces of mystery to open it to the right page, right? For me in that day. So I'm really looking forward to having it in a book, in a physical book that's easy to do that flipping through. And we've talked about actually making an oracle card deck where you could actually shuffle the cards and pull them out. So, and you know, of course, we're sharing little snippets and writing prompts on social media, which has a quality of that as well, where you're just, you just happen to be scrolling and there happens to be that one writing prompt that pops into your day suddenly, and you happen to pull out your journal. So I really want to encourage listeners to check out what Anna and I actually are working together on, sharing some of these writing prompts and actually reviews about the book, and writing excerpts from the book on social media. So, and I'm curious, Anna, what do you have to say about, as you're going through some of the materials, you know, I've invited you to go back to look through the copy of the book, to do your own review, but also look back through the writings and maybe even reflecting back on your memories. Are there any writing prompts that pop up in your awareness right now as particularly poignant for you in your process, perhaps one that you've revisited recently because of all this activity, or perhaps one that just really is of poignancy for you right now?
Probably the one, it's funny because it's both of what you just said. I've recently looked at it and it's popped up for me immediately now, is the writing prompts that are based around ancestors and the grandmother energy in that connection. That's definitely strong for me. It just feels very powerful to me at the moment. And I just resonate with that work a lot. All the ancestral work, it's the root, right? So it's such an important root, and even deeper than the root, whatever that is. So I think those have been on my mind strongly, or at least that kind of feeling of that, the way a grandmother feels, like that wisdom that can come up from those questions, just so deep. It feels like it can transform you when you have an insight going into a writing prompt like that. I think it's been the strongest one at the moment.
Yes, and I'm actually getting instructions right now as we speak, as we're talking about connecting with the grandmother energy. There have been so many writings, poetry that have come through in this writing from the womb and ancestral writing process, that it feels like a journal in and of its own, which would be like a poetry book / journal, where I share my ancestral wisdom poems with pages available for folks to connect in their own way and have it be an ancestral wisdom journal. Ooh, that sounds like quite an assignment. We'll see how long it takes me to pull that one out too. Now that I've gone through this whole process and see how to facilitate it, you know, the publication process, there's like all these next assignments coming up. My goodness. And that would be a lovely collaborative one too, right? Having a series of writing groups where we connect with our ancestral wisdom, and then whoever wants to submit their writings to the book journal, right?
Yeah. You can see all the grannies meeting up for tea and cookies.
Oh yes, lovely. All right, well, our time is slipped away and or slipped in. Here we are. I want to thank you again for joining us, joining me on the podcast, and thank listeners for listening in to our reflections about the Biomystical Womb Journal and the process of its creation and the process that it invites us into. And I want to, I'll share links in the description here, wherever you're listening to this podcast, where you can perhaps get an advance excerpt of the journal if it's not available for publication yet, and write a review. I'll also share links of where you can purchase the journal once it is available for publication. Right now, the publication date is January 18th, but there may be an additional revision that needs to happen that might push the publication date back a little bit more towards the end of January or into February. So, but I would like to be done by January 18th. So that's what we're shooting for. So I'll be posting links about that in the description, and I look forward to, oh, and also those who are getting an advanced copy and want to be part of the launch team and get discounts on the book, you know, when it is available to purchase it on the first day, that'll really help the algorithms for the book to be made available to more people in on the platforms where it will be for sale. If you want to be part of that launch support team, there'll be free passes for weekly Biomystical Womb Journal writing practice sessions, workshops that are on Sunday mornings. So I'll put a link to sign up for that as well in the description here. So thanks again. I look forward to seeing you all at some of those coming up. And yeah, that's all for now. Anything else you'd like to share, Anna?
Not much. I can really recommend people look into your work, and thank you for having me as well.
You're welcome.
Always interesting.
Yes, yes, indeed. All right, wonderful. That's all for now. Until next time, take very good care.